Dr. Anderson, could you lead us in the pledge of invocation?
Lord, we need to serve our college community, to use our resources wisely and well, to represent all members of our community fairly, to make decisions that promote the common good. We recognize our responsibility to the past and the future, and the rights and needs of both individuals and the college. As trusted servants, we seek guidance on our deliberations and on our efforts here today. May we act wisely and well. In your name we pray. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to go off script a little bit, and I have a little personal recognition. So I have here from State College of Florida for Tracy Knight, a thank you for your time from May 2023. I think we started together actually back then. And I just want to read it for the record. So presented in appreciation of Tracy Knight with sincere thanks for your dedicated service to higher education in our community, to the State College of Florida, Manatee, Sarasota. Specifically as demonstrated by devoted service as a gubernatorial appointee of the SCF District Board of Trustees, distinguished leadership as the first chairwoman, that should be noted, diligent service of the Board of Trustees liaison with the auditors from 17 to 20, steadfast commitment and philanthropic support, I think there might be somebody back there that likes that part, of the SCF Foundation, and consistent participation at college events, including commencement ceremonies. Your compassionate support of the SCF college community and its faculty and staff and students at the hurricane, supporting Hurricane Ian. It'll always be felt, Tracy. Thank you.
I can just take a minute to thank you. This means a great deal to me, and it's been a wonderful 6 years. And I know I say this a lot, but I think it bears repeating that I have never been involved with such a well-run, mission-driven organization with the best president who has the best team around her, faculty. I mean, it just absolutely awes me every single day and makes me feel good about what we're doing for the students. I know we're doing really good work, and I'll be watching you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, we have six individuals who would like to make public comment to the board.
And then the winner is
our first speaker would be Gladys Greens.
No.
Gladys, could you just state your name and address for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
That's correct. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten Gladys. I don't know where that gets comes from. My name is Gladys Green. And you say, I'm sorry, the address.
Yes, please.
2502 Fifth Avenue East, Palmetto, Florida. Thank you so much for your time. I stand humbly before you tonight, both as a full-time faculty member, 18 years come August, God willing, but also as an SCF alum. I was one of those 18-year-olds that was not prepared to leave home to do college that way, but coming to then MCC and their academics and their extracurricular activities, particularly the sports, the music, the theater, really gave me that portion of the experience, and for that I will be forever grateful. When we're speaking of the basketball program now, we all know that that announcement came out, and I have to say that I was very disheartened by that for a couple of reasons. I just want you to know, though, as an alum, back in the day, one of the things that stands out for me back in the day was the great Coach Canaan, who was kind of built our legacy on that basketball program. And what stood out for him And what stood out for a number of our coaches, particularly Coach Parks, was the passion that they had. But it wasn't just the passion for the basketball. It was the compassion for these students. They treated these students like family members, and it meant something to them. Okay. I also want to say that none of us are naive enough to know that money doesn't matter. It all of us in one capacity or another. But we, I also want to go on record to saying that our athletics and what we have put into those programs has always been a significant fiber of who we have been in our 65-year history. And I, for one, would hate to see that go by the wayside. We know there are difficult situations, difficult decisions to be made. I think none of us would refute that. But at the end of the day, I think it's what we stand for. You know, I had some other thoughts, but I want to share a few thoughts that I have gotten while I was preparing for this. And I just read a portion of this. It says, SEF means the absolute world to me. I was a high school dropout, and all it took, and it took me for 3-4 years to finally pass the math portion of the GED. But I didn't quit. It was my pleasure to finally be accepted in the SEF basketball program. It gave me a purpose. It gave me something to cling to keep hope to moving forward. I still have 2 years here in SEF, and I was super excited for those next 2 years. And now hearing so soon that our next season is going to be suspended, potentially ended forever, what I was hoping for. And I think that's the beauty of community college athletics. We take people that their skills may not be on that professional level. We give them an opportunity to not only hone those skills and get better, but more importantly, we give them an opportunity for an education, which can be life-changing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Catherine Bezira. Catherine, please state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Catherine Bezira. I live at 207 32nd Street West in Bradenton. Greetings to our board of trustees and to SEF leaders present. I'm here to offer you my words about the value of our men's basketball program. Today, I stand before you as Catherine Bezira, a sum of all my choices and opportunities, assistant professor, mother of two scholars attending State College of Florida Collegiate School, a former Division I athlete, and a National Merit Scholar. Colleagues deferred so that I could speak to you directly. I'll mention Phil Travis and Jennifer Beeslin, both athletic mentoring leaders here at State College of Florida. Thank you. I'm a scholar who studies things from the past and present. And on my days that are best, I am making connections between humans and our abilities to forgive, redeem, transform ourselves in the triumph of finding our way in this life. What is the way to being picked? How did I get to this podium? Opportunities. I've had the thrill of seeking a jump shot to win a game at the buzzer in double overtime. That type of feeling is an out-of-body experience, all the cheering, being surrounded by teammates, coaches, friends, parents, and family. But it is fleeting. The real work of finding your way in life is the maintenance of effort when no one is looking. Our students need guides for this. In education, we understand that recruitment, retention, and earning degrees are paramount. And then on every student's journey to success, the people are important. Each opportunity and decision on this beautiful campus that surrounds us and all of our learning environments built and created as an institution. We provide a transformative training ground for life. As a double-edged sword, an athlete, and a scholar, I can tell you I have witnessed and been taught these things on my way here, understanding hierarchies, discipline, balance, friendships, and struggle. These lessons were offered to me as I was balancing learning a new offense with negotiating with my calculus professor, falling asleep early to make my 5 a.m. running drills, never been the quickest, instead of partying with my friends. That was the late 80s for me, so all these lessons have long been internalized. What I want to drive to the hoop here is that I see them anew and alive in our manatees on campus, in the faces of the coaches and athletic community, but beyond that, all of our students here know that our players, and they watch them as they eat lunch, make their way to the arc and library to study, and then cut a path back to the gym to work on the game. Cheering at the game is just a part of it. Who knows? Who looks at them loading onto the bus and decides to study for one more hour or stay through the end of the semester? The return on investment for men's basketball at State College of Florida is not hard to calculate if we think about how these young men represent what the college stands for in ways that ripple out beyond headlines and street credibility. Coach Parks leads us by example in some pretty slick suits, but he also cleans weeds and tends to tombstones at a community cemetery. While we're planning events for young people in the community, consider us as a destination to learn in their futures. Our men's team is already handing out reasons to believe at our local middle and high schools. These kids might not know what SEF stands for yet, but they know our manatees. They create a visible wake of hope for the future. The beacon of effort from this team shines into countless corners of our community, this boardroom and beyond, and into the hearts of many of us. Please, don't turn off the lights.
Next speaker is Matt Ennis. Matt, please state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Matt Ennis. I live at 4104 First Avenue West, Bradenton, Florida. Distinguished members of the board and Dr. Probstfield, let me first say thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts. I dedicated 18 years of work to State College of Florida before being called into vocational ministry. That's a story for another time. For over one decade of my time with SEF, I served as the director of athletics. For the last few years of that time, I oversaw all of student activities. During my time, I served as a leader in the conference, in the state, and in the nation. I'm responsible for hiring the last 4 head basketball coaches that have experienced the most prolific seasons since legendary coach Harry Canaan led the program. Your current interim athletic director began his journey to athletic administration as an intern under my guidance here at SCF. I was awarded the NYSOD Excellence Award in 2021 and named Under Armour National Athletic Director of the Year in 2020-2021. I share these accolades not to tout my own horn, but to establish the significance of the experience I have in the area of intercollegiate athletics. You could say in the area of intercollegiate athletics, I am the expert in the room. The college recently announced plans to pause the basketball program for reasons associated with head coaching search and limited scholarships. In additional communication not shared with the public, the vice president pointed to financial concerns as a driving force. As my time with you is limited, I wanted to share that in the past 24 years, every single head coach for basketball has been hired in May, June, or July, with the exception of one who was hired in April 26th. I've also prepared a budget that will allow the program to compete in 23-24, and we use only student fees. It cuts the budget shared by Dr. Nielsen in half, and I will have that to your emails at the conclusion of this meeting. I ask you to face the proposed operational budget draft, and I encourage you to become familiar with Rule 6HX14-5.17 Student Activity Budget and its associated procedure 5.17.01 Student Activity Budget Review Committee. I encourage you to ask if these procedures were followed. And if indeed the answer is yes, they were followed, I ask you to ask the question of what was the voice of the student leaders when it comes to supporting the basketball program? Does this draft carry their intent forward? If the answer to all of these is yes, I implore you to boldly lead and reinstate the basketball program with a modified budget that relies on student fees. There is no reason why the evaluation of the program cannot run concurrently with a 23-24 basketball season. There is time to hire a coach. There is time to fill a roster. SCF own history has demonstrated that. Act today, support these students, and support the student leaders who support them through budget allocation. My prayers are with you as you make your decisions.
Our next speaker is Philip Travis. Phil, please state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
Phil Travis, 213 44th Street West, Bradenton, Florida.
I speak to you today, first of all, as not only a faculty member, but as the coordinator for the SCF basketball program, mentoring program. I'm also a longtime member on the Intercollegiate Athletic Committee. I'm also a former college basketball player myself. So this really hit home to me. And so the first thing I want to state up front is I'm here to request that the Board of Trustees and the administration seriously consider revoking the decision to suspend the SCF basketball program for next year. I'm shocked and I'm saddened by that news. I'm deeply saddened for our returning players, many of which have now been left scrambling the last minute, looking for an opportunity to pursue their hoop dreams. For anyone who might remember that book that came out about 30 years ago. Despite the college's monetary justification, it seems that this was done with little consideration for the student athletes who chose to be Manatees. Now they have their opportunity taken away from them for next year without any warning. I'm also saddened for our community. And this is whether it's families who come out to the Haunted House of Hoops or the Trunk or Treat, or local high schools who come to visit basketball games. Sometimes this was a venue for high school cheerleading teams to come out and perform at halftime. Or even to our own neighbors who were at every single game, retirees in our community, at every single game. It really saddens me to see that they're going to lose this opportunity. Our community is going to lose this opportunity. As the coordinator of the mentoring program, I can tell you that the basketball mentoring program, as a conjunction with the basketball program, this is a great opportunity to not only reach into our community to bring students to SCF, but also to help them thrive, not only as basketball players, but also as students. The mentoring program helped, not to say it's all of us, but the mentoring program helped our student basketball players achieve regular 3.0 GPAs. And I believe the last time around, it was, I think it was the second best of our athletics when it came to their GPAs. Our students go on to play Division I basketball. Isaiah Dasher was basically the sixth man on a team that went on what might be the most stunning run for an underdog team in the NCAA Final Four in history. Des Moines Hodge, who also graduated from SCF, is prospected to be a second round NBA draft pick. But there are numerous others who complete their degrees here. And they go on to, whether it's a Division II or a Division I school, to fulfill four-year programs and to further advance their academic and their career lives. In the December Board of Trustees meeting, we had the athletes here. We all celebrated them. In fact, one of our basketball players was here, and the basketball player was particularly applauded for their efforts as an athlete and as a student. So it's with that that I say, I please request that you really seriously consider not taking this away from our students, our athletes, and our local community. Because this is where we can really tap into opportunities with our community to bring them to this college. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Jennifer Beasland. Jennifer, please state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Jennifer Beasland, and my address is 3621 Avenida Madeira. Tell me when.
Go.
So I'd like to thank you all, Board of Trustees, and to our administration and all the people who attended. Thank you for showing up tonight. Thank you for being here. I have been at the college since 2007. I am a speech professor on the UFF, our chapter president, and I started the basketball mentoring program in 2007. And I kept the coordination, and I served also as a mentor since Philip Travis took it over, and I think that was 2019, so for a very long time. So what I'm here to talk about is salary. The median cost of a home in Sarasota is $454,000, Bradenton $368,000. Inflation is at an all-time high. We're losing faculty at probably one of the highest rates we ever have, to one, just leaving the college, and two, to early retirement. In 2007, when I was hired, we had 200 plus applicants for English and about 100 plus for speech when I was hired. If Fast forward to 2023, we had 23 applicants for our English for two positions. Two of the external candidates failed. They cited low salary and also extremely high cost of living. In 2022, our speech search was failed. There were two candidates. It was failed because there were two candidates. The first one, she was amazing. She was outstanding. And she wrote 9 books. She had so 9 books, numerous publications, adored by students. She had written numerous grants. She had taken her students abroad. She was a Penn State tenured professor, wanted to come here, and she ends up having to decline. And what she said was this: believe me, I tried to run the numbers in every which way, but I just couldn't make them work. I was glad that my husband and I got to spend some time. We truly looked for housing and realized that it's about 25% more expensive than housing in the area that I'm from. But that's even if we could get a house without cash in this market, and that's just about impossible. Everything about you and the committee and the students appealed to me. Still, the chance to make a difference in a sunny spot appeals to me. But the reality is that if I took this job, I would struggle financially. And then in the end, she said, I understood the offer was made to her that it would be a lower salary, but I didn't realize it would be that low, that I would come in at an assistant level being a tenured professor. And she said, I must decline the offer, but thank you and best wishes for you and your college. And then we went to our second candidate, who was Rick Pucci, and I think that he taught your son. And so Rick Pucci also had to decline the offer. He was offered $45,000, but he's a very traditional man, a real traditional Italian type of guy. His wife stays home and his two kids would have to be on his health insurance policy. $45,000, his health insurance was $19,000. $19,000. So what I ask for you is that, and this isn't typical of just our department, is that as you think about the cost and the budgets coming into the new year, that you also think about not only what it will take and what it will cost to attract new faculty, but keep the faculty that you have. Thank you.
Our last speaker is Dennis Rundy. Dennis, please state your name and address. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Dennis Rundy, 9975 Cherry Hills Avenue Circle, Bradenton, Florida. Good evening. Throughout my 33 years, I just finished my 33rd year here of teaching math, I've taught a lot of basketball players, and I know how hard these folks work, not only in the classroom, but certainly outside the classroom. I've seen an amazing group of kids succeed. I've also seen some of them fail a class, but then regroup, take some coaching, learn from their mistakes, and be successful. It's extremely rewarding as a teacher to see that. I've also served as a mentor. We've heard quite a bit about that. I'll shorten that, but these folks here deserve a big round of applause for the amount of efforts that they put in. The mentoring program, a lot of these kids are far from home, as far away as Australia. And my colleague in our department mentored two of the kids from Australia. And one of them just wrote her an email and he heard about the decision. And he said, if it wasn't for SEF basketball, he would not have his college degree. And it's just point blank. He brought that out. So the other part of the program that I really want to talk about too is I got to know these folks who are not math teachers like I am, because the mentors would come to the game, sit together. And Carol, you came to some of these games too, and sat together and cheered on these kids. This goofy shirt came from and I had to wear it tonight. And then the other thing about the program, I have 3 boys, they're all adults now. Saturdays, load them up, give mom an empty house for an afternoon, come to the basketball games. I've got a picture of my son when he was 2 years old. Matt, I think you took the picture. He was 2 years old on my shoulder. The basketball is about the same size as he is, and he's trying to shoot the hoop. My son just graduated with a degree in sport management from Florida State University. He took summer classes here to finish his degree. He is now working full-time for the Tampa Bay Rays. So we have a lot of things in our family that are attributable to Dusseyan basketball. Also, raising three boys, did a lot of coaching. I was out in the community a lot, where the kids go to school. People would find out I'm an SDF person. The number of people who had come up to me with their MJC, MCC, SCF stories, they would share those stories. A lot of their kids, a lot of their grandkids are either here or came here. SCF basketball was part of that story. And we would often, if I was coaching a group of kids, now we do this for baseball and basketball, we bring kids to the games. It was definitely the first time these kids, especially some of the kids who definitely didn't have the role models I did, was the first time on campus. And this was a door. SCF is a door. Basketball is a door to this campus. There's a lot more I've got to say, but just please consider these other things. I know these decisions are not easy. I'm not laying any blame or anything like this, but I want you to consider some of these stories. You can't put a price tag on. That's all I can. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I want to thank all our speakers tonight. Thank you.
It looks like we have no further speaking, so we can move on to the next agenda items.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I want to thank all the board members who were able to join us for our commencement ceremonies a couple weeks ago. We awarded more than 700 degrees and certificates, including 440 associate and arts degrees, 177 associate in science degrees, 85 bachelor degrees, and 20 workforce certificates. In addition to that, we pinned 88 nursing students. So we've released more nurses into the community, and both our Bradenton and Venice Collegiate Schools had their commencement ceremonies as well. So it was a very, very busy week. It was an exciting week and a rewarding week. And I just want to share two stories with you from commencement. After our commencement, Dr. Nielsen introduced me to a woman who was a graduate of ours who had tears streaming down her face. It had taken her 30 years. Mm-hmm. She was surrounded by her children and grandchildren, but she completed her degree and she's a role model. Changed her life, but also changed the life of all these young people that look up to her as their role model. So those are the kind of things that make commencement worthwhile. The other one was a young man I got to know a little bit. His name is Blake. He was one of our outstanding graduating student nominees. His parents apparently had a very ugly divorce. His mother moved him here from South Africa. They came to our area. He was unhappy with the circumstances and he was not a good performer in high school. He said he was lucky to eke his way through, graduated, and went to work as a deckhand on a towboat in the Mississippi River. He said that he never worked so hard in his life. And he said, if I worked half that hard getting an education, I can do anything I want. So he came to the State College of Florida. He graduated with his AA degree, one of our outstanding graduating student finalists, and two Python programming degrees. And he told me that this was the most important day of his life, only second to when he got his US passport. So yeah, those are the stories of commencement. I hope when you have the chance to be part of commencement with us, you'll take the chance to meet some of these people and understand the impact that we have had for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students. So that's the end of my report. Mr. Chair, again, thank you for everybody who did come to commencement and join us this year.
Thank you, Dr. Crystal. So we'll move on to approval of non-financial consent agenda items. Does anyone have anything that I need to pull from non-financial consent agenda items? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move.
Second.
And Rod is the second. I have a first and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion carries. And we'll entertain a motion for the approval of financial consent agenda items.
Move approval.
Rod and Tracy is a second. Any discussion? Having a first and a second, no discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. As usual, Exhibit O is listed in your package. It's informational. Julie gives it to us every month to keep us up to date. And we're moving on to Mr. Wellman and Exhibit P, construction projects and updates. As he's walking to the stage, the front, I just wanted to mention that Exhibit R has been removed from today's agenda item for further review by the college staff. So we'll only be looking at P and Q.
Good to go.
You're good.
Okay, thank you. So I got two items. First one being the approval of our capital improvement program. And the second is our on-call professional services, getting approval of our top rank architectural firms. Okay, so our capital improvement program, my board memo is on page 135 of your packet. And our capital improvement program, the actual program is page 146. So I'm requesting board approval of our fiscal year 24 capital improvement programs. It'll become effective July 1 of 2024. And it reflects the guidance we received from the Department of Education at their annual workshop. And we've incorporated our recommendation from our five-year educational plan survey, which we completed in 2021. And the two top priorities include the general maintenance, repair, and renovations college-wide. That's in the section CIP2. And that's a DOE requirement that that will always be your number one priority in your CIP. And our number two priority is the parish campus phase one. And you'll find the narratives in the budget and the return on investment worksheets in CIP3 of the program. Also included is in section CIP1 is a list of all our current projects and the funding sources, which include PICO, CIF, DONDS, local funds, and federal funds. And then finally, the very last section of the CIP is a backup bill with a placeholder for the parish campus and any operational expenses that may come from that. So requesting board approval for the fiscal year 24 capital improvement program.
So moved.
Second.
Jamie's first, Rod's second. Any discussion?
Discussion. The $9 million for parish, has it been passed by the state legislature?
It was passed by the legislature. It's in the governor's hands now. He hasn't concluded his final approval of the budget as yet, but we're still optimistic at this point that it's going to make it to the finish line.
Vote on this. Why is all that funded by the state, correct?
I don't know that they necessarily are related. This talks about what the total cost of that project is out over the years. So if they don't fund it this year, it's still in here saying we still need it and we still need the money for it. So whether the governor chooses to veto that or not, this doesn't change.
Yeah, it's just a program, not the actual funding.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so the second item I have is our
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion carries.
Not very anything.
Are you hungry?
I got 3 minutes.
Alarm clock went off.
Okay. So in order to order is to select our on-call professional services, for Florida statute, we got to follow the Consultant Competitive Negotiation Act. So we developed an RFQ, we advertised it, we put together an evaluation committee, which included Trustee Goodson. And the committee evaluated firms based on their experience, past performance, ability, the firm's staff, and the proximity of those firms to our various campuses. So after going through a shortlisting exercise, conducting on-site interviews, we have our four top-ranked firms in alphabetical order, which is Foley Bryant Architects, Hepner Architects, Rowe Architects, and Sweet Sparkman Architects. And I'm requesting board approval of these four top-ranked firms provide our on-call professional services.
Out of curiosity, have we used these before in the past, or are there new architects on the list?
So the new one is Sweet Sparkman.
So we added a fourth. You were carrying four on-call construction managers. Figured we'd carry these four, give a little bit more opportunity to, they're actually in Sarasota.
I'll entertain a motion for the recommendation of approval of the top four ranked firms to be on-call architects.
Removed.
Second.
Mark is first, Ryan second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion carries.
So just a couple pretty pictures, got a couple updates to give you. May not be too exciting for everybody, but this is the Venice chiller plant, part of our $6 million CARES project. This was a piece of it. So we had to be finished by June 30th. We have completed all of the $6 million worth of mechanical system upgrades. What you got here are two 300-ton chillers, a lot more energy efficient than the 250-ton chillers that used to live there. New pumps, new cooling towers. What this also does is give us double the capacity. So this will support the new Venice Science Building plus the next two decades worth of any development that would happen there. And probably the most important thing this does, there used to be 250-ton chillers. They both were over 20 years old. And if one failed, you didn't have the redundancy where that other 150-ton chiller would carry the campus during the hot season. So outside of this building sits this old little air-cooled 80-ton air-cooled chiller that would have to kick on the limp along if one of the 150s had failed. And that's a bad situation to be in. So a couple years ago, we put one of the 300-tons in. And through the CARES, we put the second 300-ton chiller in. And now we have the redundancy that if one fails, one 300-ton will carry to Venice with the new science building and a couple other buildings. So we're really leaving the Venice campus in great shape. So that's exciting. This is probably 3.5 weeks old, but this is the Venice Science Building under construction. Roof truss is going on, the roof decking going up.
Is the roof on now?
The membrane is on.
The membrane.
So this is one of the science labs. You can see the insulation's in. You got your rough stub up for the science tables. In the next 30 days, we'll have windows in. We'll have the permanent roofing installed. The building will be dried in. So mid-June, you know, before the, we don't want to say the word, everything, we're going to be in really good shape, and that's where we want to be. Drywall will be installed. We're about 2 weeks on schedule. We're looking at substantial completion 1st of December, final completion end of December. So classes will be able to get scheduled for that first spring. So we're looking along. Any questions?
Great pictures.
Thank you.
We're moving on to the 2023-2024 draft operating budget. Ms. Jackway.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to share with you the operating budget proposal for 2023-24, beginning on page 172 of the packet. The first thing that's in your budget is the proposed fee schedule. Tonight, that's for information only. Approval will be requested at the June meeting. It does require by law a 28-day proposal. Announcement period before you can act on it. The fee schedule will this time include some course fees eliminated and reduced for 23-24. We had a audit finding a couple of years ago that our course fees needed to be evaluated, and Dr. Bill Kukowski sitting in the back row and team did that for every course fee at the college and came up with some for courses that are no longer being taught, or some for courses that no longer have disposable requirements for the students to purchase. So you'll see in the course fee schedule a lot of red lines. We're marking those out. Next, please. There's a few more. And then you will see on the next page that We have a new program, education program, and we're proposing 40 fees for that. These fees are related to disposable items that are for educational support that are in the park in these classes. So that's all for the course fees tonight. Does anyone have questions that I can answer or information you'd like to see before the next meeting? Okay. Next on the agenda is the salary schedule. And the salary schedule this time includes several items, position level changes, some position eliminations, position title changes. So once you get in, we'll see a lot of red ink on there for reading those things. And we're also going to propose part of the salary schedule, recurring salary increases, and a July 2023 four-day work week. These will be effective July 1st for out-of-unit faculty and staff, and pending negotiations with the UFF for in-unit. Here are some positions that are in the salary schedule. I've noted in parentheses what they were doing. For example, the first one, we're replacing a different position with an advisor. The second one, the same thing with the compliance coordinator. And as you move down through these different titles, you'll see some are new. For example, three up from the bottom, the coordinator with the IT Coding Academy is new and is grant funded. The manager for 26 West Community Engagement is replaced by the previous position. His is the last line there, project coordinator for lifelong learning is replaced. Here's a few more that are listed for you. I'd like to call your attention to the director of sponsored projects next to the bottom, which is a new position, grant funded, and has recently been filled. The very last one on the list, we're trying to fill a controller and our finance director. We've actually taken this position and raised it a level to an associate vice president because we're not getting any applicants with CPAs at the prices we were paying. So we're trying. We interviewed a good candidate today, and I expect a healthy outcome to this decision. Here's some hourly positions. Ticketing and guest services. Our manager of the Neal Auditorium has done a great job of increasing the activity there, and we're going to pay a student part-time to help him with ticketing services. We're going to replace our current graphic artist with a different graphic artist at a different level for the same reason we can't afford to hire one. Down at the very bottom here are a couple of final salary positions. Financial aid officer for federal programs is a replacement, and an IT Coding Academy success coach is new, self-supporting and grant. Next, I'd like to talk about salaries over time. We look at this chart every year. The salary adjustment history since 2013 has, if we go with a 5% increase, as we're going to request from you this year, will be over that period of time about 15%. The annual CPI increase during the same period is 26.8, but we're very excited to be able to propose to you a 5% increase 2 years in a row. So this is good news. And once again, pending negotiations with UFF in fact. What we're proposing for the salary schedule is to create a salary increase pool of $1.75 million, which will give recurring increases up to 5%, some market adjustments for those positions, like the controller that we haven't been able to fill, and provide us with a small reserve so that we don't find a candidate or a faculty member or others. We have some money to work. Also, we're including in this request a four-day work week for July of 2023, similar to the June four-day work week that you approved last year for next month. Questions? If there are no questions, I would request approval of the salary schedule, including the salary increases.
Julie, can you just a lot there for the Coding Academy, all under grant. So how long is that grant for?
Yes, they earn their own money, so they've had several coming and going breaks.
They have to cover their own costs.
They're paying their own way.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need a motion to request approval of the 2023-2024 salary schedule?
I'll move.
Mark, Ryan first.
Second.
Tracy's a second. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
The labor participation rate in the state of Florida is about 59.3% right now. In the Tampa Bay region, it's 74%. We're having a hard time competing for these entities. Next, I want to talk about the operating budgets. Give you a little information again about 10 years of overtime. The revenue during that time period with the revenue through 22-23 has increased about 12%, while expenses have increased 28%. Health insurance is a big one at 52%. And I just want to share that that minus 10% in salaries is not that we're paying less. It's that we adjust the expenditure with OPS and adjuncts depending on enrollment. So it goes up and down. Retirement contributions have increased 13%. Burn expense, and I always throw in software, even though it looks like a small dollar amount, it is increased 57%.
Current expense.
Everything else, janitorial services, utilities. And then I'll share here the state appropriations for the current year, and the very good news is that the total on the green line there on recurring dollars has increased about $3.8 million from last year. The current operating budget in the state. There's new additional non-recurring dollars for nursing. And right now there's $9 million that looks very good in the president's budget, excuse me, the governor's budget for infrastructure for the parish budget. Next. In the lower division, that comes out to about $3.5 million of increase. Part of that is tuition and fees, and that's the increase in students with the collegiate schools. Support from local government is less, but we are expecting to see more of those transitional students in hopefully the next year. State support I mentioned there. Sales and service is increased. That's the Coding Academy 26 West. Other revenue is interest off earnings. I dropped off for many years, but lately it's we get enough. And non-revenue receipts. So the total that we're expecting for lower division revenue up from my 52.7 to this year's 56.3. So what do we have in our bank account? Before we start talking about what we're going to spend, we wanted to share our fund balance reservations. We'll be back to you in September to talk about what we're going to spend fund balances on. But for right now, we always know we have approximately $600,000 in unspent bills from 1 year to the next. Excuse me, unpaid bills from 1 year to the next. So we have to hold a reserve for that. Board requested commitments, you'll see that here in a minute, is about $3.2 million. There is a non-recurring balance in the nursing plan. Right now, about $727,000 from the previous state grant for nursing excellence. I always hold funds for an insurance deductible. It's 5% of our total value, and I divide that by three because hopefully a hurricane wouldn't hit all three campuses in one. And the very last thing, we're required by the law to hold a 5% reserve. That's about 2 minutes. Questions?
I just thinking of three hurricanes would be terrible.
Believe me. So that's our fund one.
Julie, can you go back one page?
Yeah.
The 5% required reserve, is that not meant to be for a deductible
or is it meant to be in addition?
It's meant to be held all the time by the college. And I want to point out Fund 7, Fund Balance, that's capital construction renovation dollars. We're estimating about 13.7. So in the budget, you'll see there are a few items that we just talked about that add up to the negative number that I'm going to show you. So I wanted to explain where it's coming from. Again, the nursing enhancement dollars, remainder of 7.25. Non-recurring contingency equipment, $3.8 million, also from the fund balance. There is, for those of you who may be new to it, an accounting requirement that we post a transaction for the value of future pensions. It is a non-cash transaction. It has to be budgeted $2.2 million. Last non-recurring is nursing enhancement that we have in the budget for this year. It's 1.862. In your document, you'll see for Fund 1, which is lower level, tuition and interest earnings and state appropriations, revenue budget of $56 million, expenditures of $63 million. You'll see at the bottom where we, when we look at revenue over expense, it's -$7.2 million. You add the non-recurring commitments that I just shared and the GASB accounting transaction. You got about $1.4 million in committed. Very good. Really good for us. Upper level is required to balance. That is when the colleges were given the right to teach baccalaureate classes. This was part of the deal. So revenues of 1.6, expenditures of 1.6. A little bit of increased revenue. We've seen a little bit more enrollment. Fund 2. Student activities have been approved by the Student Activity Board at $1.481 million for athletics, student government, student support services, funded by activity fees. Gifts, grants, and others, we have about $4.3 million, and that's work study, includes driver improvement, and other items that come to us. Then Bradenton Collegiate School at $4 million in Venice at $2.4. So the Bradenton Collegiate School in Venice are based on this year's budget. They don't get their information until June or July from the counties. And so we'll be back to you in September with. So on two grants, contracts, revenues, and expenses total 5.76. Big difference there, back up. Big difference there from last year. That had years for me in it. And we will have expended it all by June 30th. So here's, as to mention, the Collegiate School for Bradenton, revenues over expenses, it's a small balance. And next slide, same thing for Venice. So you'll see an increase, but that's because the class, the size of the class is increasing. The very last thing for the budget to talk about tonight is plan fund. As I mentioned, we have about $13.7 million fund balance estimated beginning in July 1st. Of that, we'll add 5.3 in local funds, 200,000 in CONDS, which is license plate fees, PICO 18.8, and that is the $9 million if we get it, plus the $8.2 million we got this year for deferred maintenance for next year because we won't have spent that yet. Total of $24.4 in plant funds with estimated expenditures of 7.6 because we, in fact, don't think we'll start construction on Parrish next year. We'll take a seat here and get to something. Leaving us fund balance at the end of next year, 30.5. Questions? Yes.
A few minutes ago, you brought up some of the expenses, such as like benefits, and we talk a lot about salaries increases and days off, more extra for things like that. I know I'm late to the party on the board, but you know, if you help me understand what we do as a benefit package, when we look at the hiring, concerns me that we can't fill spots in an environment we live in today. And is it all about just the overall cash money offering, or is it not, you know, or is it a combination of benefits and salary?
Well, I would say it's a combination of benefits and salary.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's everything. Typically, as a higher education institution, we have a hard time competing with the local market. When you compare where we are with the higher education market, and as I didn't tell most of you, we're in the first quartile of compensation. So we do pretty well there, but with local market related positions, we really struggle.
Is it normal in the benefit world? I know you probably once a year, being an old insurance agent myself, renew different carriers and you go to market like Chris does for building and things like that.
We do.
I'm assuming, are we currently offering ancillary benefits such as financial services or other ancillary auxiliaries like that?
Well, maybe so, too? We offer faculty and staff the opportunity to purchase a few items, but not a lot. The if you recall, the college is one of 26 out of 28 that belongs to the insurance consortium.
Okay.
So we can pool all of our activities together and get a better price.
So is it normal for other community colleges to have the same benefit package we would?
Just about exactly.
Okay, so it's not a market thing, really. I got you.
Julie, you mentioned the money that needs to be spent by June 30th. Are you at all concerned that we won't have it spent?
Well, what I have suggested that we do, and I haven't talked to Dr. B about this yet, is that we ask for no cost extension. We're within a couple $100,000 of having it all expended, but I don't want to lose a dime of it for the benefit of our students, faculty, and staff. So we're going to.
And the federal government did send out that they're giving these no cost extensions. So we're in good company. We're close to being complete, but many have a lot more to do than we do.
We're much closer than most.
All right. I need to entertain a motion for the college recommendation on the approval for the 2023-2024 college budget.
So moved.
Mark is first.
Second.
Mike?
Rod? It was Rod second. Gracie? I knew, I didn't want to cut somebody off, so.
It was Mark.
No, Mark was first.
Yeah.
Tracy second. No, Jamie second. So we have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
One comment before I leave. I want to thank Jamie Carter for assisting us as we searched for a new audit firm for the collegiate schools. It was a intricate, long, and I really appreciate it.
It was interesting.
Thank you, David. So I'm pleased to deliver my fellow board members the 2022-2023 performance of our president. I just want to give a little bit of some high color. When you look at the outstanding category, we all ranked Dr. Probstfeld at 64% of the time outstanding, 34% of the time highly skilled. So that represents 98% of the time she's at the top two categories within, you know, leadership, board representation, external representation, administrative effectiveness, legislative effectiveness. A couple highlights when I look at the comments. Dr. P exhibits the qualities of a great leader, both with her team and in the community. She's recruited and maintains a high quality team and lets them shine, which is hard to do as a leader a lot of times. Under Dr. P's leadership, the school has taken a giant leap forward in technology, marketing, student outreach, and programming. Dr. Probstfeld maintains excellent regular communications with the board members, keeping them apprised of all important matters that concern SEF. When you look at external, Dr. Probstfeld is well known, highly respected, and I will tell you, having Traveled circles of Manatee and Sarasota counties. Absolutely highly respected. And she maintains a very active profile. So we're very, her calendar is full almost all the time. She's transformed the college presence in the community since she has taken the lead. And I would definitely, I don't know who said that, but I would definitely second that for sure. Dr. Probstfeld has developed a strong senior team with a focus on SDF mission, execution, and measurable outcomes. Uses statistical data in setting goals and measuring the effectiveness of those goals. And Dr. Probstfeld and her team have worked hard to develop strong relationships within our local delegation, both locally in Tallahassee and in DC. Her asks are always clean and concise, which gives her the benefit against others that may not be as pointed. And she's effective in negotiation, thankfully, on the monetary side of the college. Dr. P, I could go on and on and on with the comments that the board has given you, but I'm proud to be able to sit as the board chair with my fellow board members. And thank you for your time and consideration over the last year. With that, I think I need to have one, a motion to accept the evaluation. No, but do I need a motion to?
There's bonuses involved though, right?
That's not told.
That's not.
But I have to approve the contract. Right. So I need a motion to approve.
Everybody has marked on there that they approve it. So I just need you to sign off.
Oh, that's it? Oh, it's already been done. So. Do you have a comment? Do you have any comment? Yep.
I'm sorry, can I mention one thing? I just want to say, however that works out in the culmination, there's always one question on that that is about the legislative process where we're asked to grade how successful she is on legislative. And I always see that blank saying it was a totally unfair question because she has no control over what the legislature does, nor does any other college president. I think it's silly to have the question there. So I leave it unanswered because I don't even know how to possibly grade that. So however that might affect whatever, that's my thinking on it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I want to thank you for your comments. I thank everybody for taking the time to actually write comments. I read everything that you say. I take it to heart. I appreciate your support. It means a lot to me. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to do something that I love every day.
Thank you. Do I hear any old business? Any new business?
I don't know if it's new or old, it's kind of both. You know, in lieu of the, you know, the basketball athletic thing happening, you know, I'd ask the board in consideration and also the administration, Dr. P, in consideration of an opportunity to help lead some sort of format and process forward, you know, and work with the administration on a pathway forward versus in the past. You know, I'd like to be a part of that building process that we can build athletics bigger and stronger than we've ever had before. And I think we have an opportunity to do that in light of everything. But I'd ask the administration for consideration and the board consideration to help lead that charge.
So, Mr. Chair, there's a couple of different things we can do. You know, we have Mr. Goodson, who works with our facilities department on things. We have Jamie, who works with Julie. We can, if the board will, we can ask Ryan to work with the administration this summer while we're trying to put together some thoughts and ideas on that pathway forward. So that's one possibility.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All of it's you.
I need a motion.
So moved.
Well, maybe not.
I think it might as well. I don't know that we need a motion on that, Steve. For a liaison?
It can't hurt. It would be an ad hoc committee, but it applies for the board to show a consensus in forming an ad hoc committee like that.
How would you word that if you were to word it?
The board approves the concept of an ad hoc committee on athletics, and Trustee Moore would be the liaison with that committee.
So moved.
Second.
I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Got some more work.
When you're asked for very
failed to say that we also have Mike, who is our liaison to the foundation.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Carter, do you have any comments?
A very productive meeting, and thank you, Julie, for your presentation, and Chris, of course. Congratulations on the progress in Venice. That's amazing. I'm looking forward to the months ahead.
Well, I extolled the virtues of our president and team and faculty, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell my fellow board members what an honor and a privilege it has been to work with you all. It really has been a joy, and I thank you for your service, and hope you all stay on a lot longer. And I will say that I'm working hard to find another Venice person to fill my shoes. I think it's important. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm going to miss Tracy because I watched her be one of the more diligent, very diligent in understanding things and participating in things, and in her leadership when she was chair and all. And it's just a loss on the board when I heard that you weren't going to be re-upping. It's like, ah, politics. Anyway, so there's that. I also want to just acknowledge, I appreciate the speakers from earlier. I appreciate their passion and their points, and how many of them said that they understand it's a difficult decision, because it really is a balancing act. It's a difficult decision. And so I just appreciate you guys. Thank you.
So two things. I concur. It's great to hear the speakers. So thank you for taking your time. That's important for us.
And they sat through a budget.
So quickly, news from the foundation. Cassandra and her team, as of today, are $400,000 to the good over their budget. They've raised 2.1 on a current budget of 1.7. Thank you very much. And mainly from fundraising with individuals and corporate business and organizational donations. Which is great news. Some additional good news is we have two additions to the foundation. As a reminder, the foundation is helping to raise money and awareness for the entire mission. So it's great to have Vernon DeSeer back on the foundation board, executive director of Manatee Memorial Hospital Foundation, former SCF foundation director from over 10 years ago. He participated in legendary event at SCF's history, the BSN or bust ride to Tallahassee to secure approval for our BSN degree, along with countless hours of fundraising, launch new baccalaureate degrees. Also, Jane Esbeck, representing Sarasota, retired HR and administrative executive, background in management training, people development, culture development, organizations where she has association. She's always been a groundbreaker in her career. Her personal motto, draw a circle bigger, like that, defines her business career and personal life. Lifelong educator, from her earliest career efforts as an elementary school teacher to her later role as an adjunct professor, graduate and undergraduate university studies. She's a graduate of Drake University with a BA in education and master's in public administration. So, raising extra money is great, but also securing those kind of people that come to the foundation board is really instrumental to raising the extra money over the budget. So congratulations. Dates coming up, the annual scholarship luncheon, which is always fantastic. Mike was on the is November 1st, Wednesday, November 1st. And the theme will be take your career to the next degree. And then we have the Bradenton fundraiser, which formerly known as Avenues to the Future. We're changing the name, changing it up a bit. Going to be some exciting stuff. That's Saturday, February 17th of 2024. And then obviously Evening Under the Stars, celebrating 35 years, Cassandra. Is that right? Evening Under the Stars.
It'll be
35 years. That's April 6th of next year. That's it.
You're going to get those dates to us in writing?
the calendar or those? I'll send you both.
Tracy, been delighted to have you with us. Learned a lot from you. Best of luck with your future.
Appreciate it.
To the speakers, please don't think that your words go unheard. They are very much heard, talked about, and debated. Decisions are tough, long. We're going to do something to get it fixed.
Thanks, Tracy. I know I've been a short time with you, so congratulations and the next endeavor, and appreciate all the board members that participate. And again, thank you for all the speakers and your passion. I too am an alumni here and have similar stories and passion as each of you do. So I appreciate that. These are hard decisions to make. And but a lot of times through difficulty comes reward and a lot of things, brand new. So, we look forward to a productive future, no matter what it is. And I also like to make one request. I have yet to been to the Lakewood Ranch campus, and I would love a tour. Just to go
see. Make that up.
Oh, it is.
If you look at the
okay,
recording,
I'll look.
It says our meeting.
That's the best meeting.
October 31st meeting. We can arrange a
cool
tour.
Yeah, I just let the we do a lot of the medical stuff here, and and Chris brings up all the stuff and equipment and all this stuff. Just be really nice to see firsthand what it means, because it's all part of our family too, and I want to make sure that I understand it all. So
we said you could see it. We didn't say you could understand it.
My only comments tonight are, Tracy, we spent 6 years together. I appreciate all the time you put in, especially through your year as the chair and the effort that you put in during that year as well, in light of a lot going on at home during those times as well. So we'll miss you. But your legacy will live on for sure. So thank you for your time.
Last week.
Thank you. I think that's it. So I believe we're adjourned.
Yep.